Ladies and gentlemen, continuing with our meeting, as part of our ongoing efforts to enhance what we refer to as intergovernmental coordination, we are very pleased that our friends at the Delaware Department of Transportation has made available a person to assist us. That now, this is not a case where DLDOT is endorsing a project or anything like that. They are here totally as a resource for the commission. So I would ask you would come forward, introduce yourself, and perhaps give us a little overview of the project, and then we'll give the commission a chance to ask a few questions.
Good afternoon. My name is Sirin Motaseb. I'm with DLDOT Division of Planning in the TIS group.
Thank you. Just in terms of as it relates to this particular project, perhaps you could just maybe give us an overview of the grade separation project, what the timeline is, what the challenges might be, and how it relates to what we're talking about tonight.
Sure. So the grade separated interchange project for Cave Neck South Route 1.
Thank you.
Because we're having more than one GSI. So at this specific location, it starts spring 2026.
We can't hear her back here.
All right, sir, I'm going to ask you to move right up here. There's a seat right here. Come on up. Come on up. She's doing the best she can with the system we have. I'm sorry you're having an issue, but please feel free to come sit right next to Zach if you want, or you can sit right there. Perfect. Okay, yes, indeed.
So
okay.
I'm going to repeat. The construction start date is spring 2026 with completion of 2028, give or take plus, you know, with construction. Part of the GSI, there are three roundabouts that are in the proximity of Seaside. DLDOT recently did an updated level of service analysis based on the new updated Seaside proposal, the new residential units and commercial square footage. All that was added to the GSI volumes, redistributed in the roadway network. And the analysis concluded that all three roundabouts will function at an acceptable level of service during peak time volumes. And no alteration, based on that, we determined that no alteration to the GSI design, no need for an updated TIS analysis, based on the updated analysis that we did, the traffic modeling, including Seaside, a new proposal.
Okay, thank you. Anyone on the commission have any questions? All right, well, listen, thank you very much for sharing with us this evening. Well, would ask that you maybe stick around just for a little while, because the public is going to be giving some testimony here for long, and there may be a question
sure.
that arises, okay?
No problem. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, commissioners, time to query Mr. Hutt and his crew, if you like. And we're going to start with Mr. Collins. Any questions?
I think Mr. Hutt and the other witnesses have covered all of my questions.
Okay. All right, then. Mr. Butler?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ms. Wingate?
Just a couple. First of all, did we get any response back from Cape and Lopen on the inquiry on the school district?
So we have sent that letter, and we've yet to receive a response. So there's a possibility that the commission could hold the record open to receive that. And okay. as it was only sent last week. So.
Okay, thank you. And then just because I'm not clear on this, it might be from Mr. Crouch. The yellow lines there, what does that yellow line represent on the south side of the property?
Yeah, that's there's a service road that's going to run down this way, and actually if you...
I see it on the drawing in our plans, but I didn't...
Yeah, it's there again, the location to be determined, but you can see there's a service line. there's a service road in this area here somewheres. So we have it on there, and there again, that's going to be something that would we'd have to coordinate with DLDOT with.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have for now.
Okay. Mr. Mears?
No questions.
Okay, Steph? Yes.
Mr. Hutt, there is an area on the plans that is designated for future development, and I just wanted to clarify that as part of that minor subdivision, that those lands were not attributed to the density calculation for this project.
That is correct, and I didn't do the calculations, so we'll get it straight from the engineer who did the calculations, but they were not included in the density calculation, and they would also not have been included then in the open space calculations. I see Mr. Crouch affirming by nodding his head.
Thank you, sir.
Great question. All right, thank you. Okay. Mr. Whitehouse?
None for me, thank you.
Counselor?
None for me either, thank you.
All right then, Mr. Hutt, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. So, is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2023-07 Seaside? Speak in favor. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2023-07? Yes, sir, you right there on the aisle, all the way in the back. Come on up. Give us your name, you may have the floor. You've been waiting very patiently. We appreciate that.
How you doing? My name is Kevin O'Donnell from Milton. My first question was for the developer, and the fact when they purchased the property, did they have their attorney review the zoning laws that allowed two houses per acre?
Okay, I'll ask him that, but I'm pretty sure they probably did.
Okay.
Is that I think the proposed density is less than that?
Well, that's if you're taking into account the 40% of the property that's not usable.
Well, that's not.
If you take the property that it's usable, and then divide the numbers, it should be calculated. Also, should be deducted. They're putting a clubhouse, a pool, all that area should be taken out of the housing allotment to allow for what is actually
used for
houses.
What code section are you relying on for that?
I don't know a code section for that. It's just common sense to me. If you have 40% of the property is not usable, it shouldn't be calculated.
If I can assist, Mr. Chairman, there is a provision in the code that tidal wetlands, for example, cannot be counted towards right. calculation of density. So there is provision in code for that. The staff have checked all of that, and staff even confirmed today as part of the record that the calculation in code, as set out in code, was followed.
Okay, so that's been taken into account.
Okay, so that is taken. You're allowed to. Okay.
To clarify, you're not allowed to use tidal wetlands for density, to clarify.
Okay, right. So then I'm correct.
No. You're not allowed to use tidal wetlands to count towards density, but everything else is allowed by code to count towards density.
Can use it. Okay. Right. Then the other thing I would just have to say is we should not allow them to do away with the 100-foot buffer from the wetlands. Houses should not be built that close to the wetlands.
Are we not complying with the?
Well, they moved the wetlands to the area of wetlands. They moved the buffer, the 100-foot buffer from the wetlands into the wetland area, I believe, so that with the allowance to move that, and that shouldn't be allowed.
So the resource buffer ordinance has a buffer averaging option,
right.
which the applicant
That's
is using in this case, and the applicant's presentation did cover this. So the required buffers as modified through buffer averaging are complied with, and staff checked all of that before the hearing.
Well, I understand it's complied with, and I'm sure they did it legally, but
right.
the commission should be looking at that as fact is people are going to have to be living that close to the wetlands.
That's a recipe for a lawsuit, okay? That's why we have an ordinance. We follow the ordinance allows for the buffer averaging. We're just not in a position to just arbitrarily decide that, well, in this situation it doesn't apply because the courts won't support that. We have to, part of the whole theory of zoning, okay, I'm gonna take you into the weeds a little bit, okay? Zoning and ordinances is to provide a certain degree of predictability for the public and for the property owners, for everyone. And that's why we do everything by prescriptive ordinance, okay? So we really just can't arbitrarily make a decision like that. It has to be, there has to be some basis in the ordinance for us to do that. I get how sometimes these things may have sections that look like they don't make too much sense, but in the scheme of things, the averaging does make sense because it allows for these for these unusual situations that you know that you're confronted with, because properties are not regularly shaped; they're irregularly shaped. So,
right. Okay, thank you.
You're certainly welcome. Okay. Okay, who's next? Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay, I see a hand over here.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, and staff. My name is Rich Barrasso. I live in Milton, and I'm representing myself for this public hearing.
Oh, okay.
If we can bring up the presentation. Thank you, Jamie. Be quicker than that.
I was going to say, don't thank him yet.
Yeah. he hatted it 4:55 yesterday afternoon, so.
Wow, well, had plenty of time, huh?
He's terrific. I'm not criticizing
him. I understand that. We think he's pretty terrific, too. There we go.
I've owned a home in the Red Fox Run community for the last 12 years, and I and 40 plus other homeowners in Red Fox and neighboring communities have witnessed a number of efforts to develop the parcels which are the subject of this public hearing. From multiple denials and appeals from an 850,000 square foot regional shopping center to cluster subdivision approvals and a recent but failed attempt to rezone for the highest possible residential and commercial uses, we have seen it all. In the illustration, the red rectangle is directly across from the Seaside at Lewis project. The gold egg in the lower corner is my home. Despite the revolving door and the land use process for these parcels, two factors remain. First is the Delaware Department of Transportation Corridor Capacity Preservation Program, which aims at maintaining the ability to handle traffic safely and efficiently on SR1, as well as to minimize the impact of increased economic development while preserving the ability to make future improvements. The second factor is the protection and the preservation of the Great Marsh, the near pristine 17,000 acre coastal wetland near the mouth of the Delaware Bay. Despite the parcels residing in the state investment level 4, where it is the state's intent to discourage additional urban and suburban development, single family cluster developments were approved by the commission in 2019. In the likelihood that in the judgment of the commission, Seaside at Lewis is appropriate for this site, I want to make sure my concerns are heard and on the record. What follows are my concerns and, in some respects, seeking some clarification on three specific but related areas. Number one, clarification on the final DelDOT traffic impact study, also known as the TIS. Secondly, the need for phasing building permits in concurrency with the Cave Neck grade separation intersection completion. And that may have been answered, but I want to confirm that. And lastly, which has been touched upon, and that is future development at Seaside. So regarding the DLDOT traffic impact study, in the September 19, 2024 staff review of the preliminary subdivision plan for Seaside, there contained a staff note that four documents were required to be submitted prior to the scheduling of this application for a public hearing before the commission. One of the four documents was the final DLDOT TIS as outlined in Section 9, Coordination, Letter B, of the signed MOU between the county and the state. In reviewing Section A in the exhibitors, the Seaside Residential Exhibit Book, that the applicant submitted, there were four references. One was D1, a support facilities report has been provided for this project. D3, DLDOT has confirmed that no TIS or TOA is required because the project is within the planning thresholds. And four, the developer will be working with DLDOT on the SR1 and Cape Neck road improvements since this project will have direct access to the improvements with the service road. With regards to D1, I had trouble locating the support facilities report in the exhibit book. If it's there, I would just like to point it out so that the public would have an understanding of it. Now, is it Mr. Crouch, the engineer? There was a reference made to something in Section L, and if that's where it's at and I've missed it, I don't mean to be accusatory, but that information would be very helpful. The pertaining to D3 and D4, the exhibit book provided an archive of a number of transportation agreements, meeting notes. Again, an archive of meeting notes, updates, including the 10-year-old TIS for the Overbrook Town Center. Now, the Overbrook Town Center, I'm dating myself, but I'm retired, but back in 2014, I was working, and I remember a call that I got. I was in San Diego having breakfast, and my neighbor called and said, "You're not going to believe this, but they're going to build an 850,000 square foot regional shopping center out our front door." And literally, I can stand in my dining room and I can look down the street in the Red Fox Run community and see what would have been an 800,000 square foot shopping center. So I'm absolutely elated that that's not what is going in there. In the 5 years that followed the town center, In 2019, the Overbrook Meadows cluster subdivisions were approved with a signed MOU. And again, in my notes, I have a comment here that the document contained a project phasing schedule, which I will get to in a minute, but is it my understanding that that there'll be no building permits until the completion of the separated grade?
I see some heads nodding. No?
Yeah, and that's actually, I'm just looking at the conditions, and we can get you a copy of these too, Mr. Okay. Presso, but it says no certificates of occupancy, shall be issued until DLDOT completes improvements connecting the community with Coastal Highway Route 1 as part of the SR1 and Cape Neck Road grade separated intersection project.
So does that mean that it's only connected to the northbound Route 1, or does it also indicate that it would be connected to southbound through the roundabouts?
I don't know that it's that specific, and I'm just saying that's what they've proposed also, not necessarily what might
end up. I'll need to better understand that, but I want to go on.
Okay.
So from 2019, let's roll on to 2023, when a DLDOT and developer scoping meeting took place regarding the project. And at that time, there was a change in the number of dwellings. It went up 50% from 236 to 360 or 359. I want to make a point here that these overlapping occurrences, the town center, as well as the original clusters, and where we are at today, it's unclear as to what the true impact of past and future development on the Cave Neck Road SR1 intersection. because I think we start with a 10-year-old TIS, and from there we make adjustments over the next 10 years. And I just want to, I think it's really important in terms of transparency relative to how we get to the point where when we do the analysis that indicate ramps and roadways are safe, is that the public has the full knowledge of what developments either now or in the future are being considered in those trip generation calculations. And I'll say more about that. In an October 17, 2023 memo from the engineering firm WRA, which Mr. Hyde referred to, an evaluation of the projected level of service and again, the Dell representative touched upon this with one minor exemption. Based on the synchro analysis of forecasted 2050 AM, PM, and Saturday peak hourly volumes, all three roundabouts operate at acceptable levels of service during all three peaks. And I think that's what the representative from Dell had shared with us. So that was October the 17th. 5 weeks later, on December the 21st, 2023, an update was published. Now, DelDOT has an unusual way of providing updates. They use the original date on the memo and then kind of bury the update in there, so it was kind of difficult to locate. But this is what it said. So this is the analysis that said that all three were okay. They were within the levels of service. This is the one that came 5 weeks later. And it states, based on these results, the projected development levels including Seaside, Chapel Farm, and Cool Spring, as well as background growth to year 2050, would require alterations of the GSI project design. So I'm a little confused if we're saying the representative said that there's no change in the design. This memo identifies that there is. And it goes on to say that the Cave Neck Road at connector to SR1, Frontage Road, roundabout number 2, let me back up, let me complete the way it's stated in the letter. The Cave Neck Road at connector to SR1 Frontage Road, roundabout number 2, is further over capacity and over capacity during all peaks and shows the primary cause of the failing LOS is the eastbound Cave Neck Road approach, which includes an extremely high right turning volume. This suggests that a design alteration to provide for an extra slip right turn movement with upstream storage and downstream may partially or completely mitigate the failing condition. Again, partially or completely. So what I've done is, I'm no engineer. I failed graphic arts, but I took the latest map alternative from DelDOT, and I kind of want to walk you through this to give you an understanding in terms of how the public who are familiar with the plan separated grade, what's going through their minds. So if I can draw your attention to a legend across the bottom of the slide, what appears to be red, but it's really a brown line at the far left-hand side, it is what is currently the southbound lane of SR1, but it will be the proposed new service road. So starting right before the Red Fox development, that service road, which again is Route 1 today, southbound, that is part of the plan. So the green circles are the proposed roundabouts. 1, 2, and 3. The yellow circle with the number 2 in it is roundabout number 2. The yellow arrows mark east and westbound traffic on Cave Neck Road. And reference back to that memo from WRA, that long yellow arrow is where they're talking the need for those stacking lanes coming eastbound on Cave Neck. The red crescents are the ramps connecting roundabouts 2 and 3. The purple arrows represent the connector road between the Red Fox Run community and Cave Neck Road, as well as the bisect, the road that travels through the Chapel Farm development, which, as we all know, is a mixed-use development of 128 apartments and retail and potentially a drugstore and a convenience store with an estimated 8,000 incremental vehicle trips per day. The Red Fox Run community, designated by the blue arrow with the red trim, is right below that. DelDOT is essentially closing off our access to Route 1, which we are very happy about. We met with DelDOT last week, as well as two engineers, to talk about what impact that will have. And we expressed concerns that that number two roundabout is essentially ground zero. And here's why. Southbound traffic wanting to go west on Cave Neck would enter the Red Crescent ramp and into the roundabout and make their way west. Traffic from Seaside will cross over. The black represents the elevated overpass. That's Cave Neck Road elevated over Route 1. Sorry for that. So all traffic from Seaside going west will enter that roundabout. All traffic from Seaside wanting to go south on 1 into Rehoboth, and Lewis, and Dewey, and whatnot, will cross over into that roundabout. Any traffic wanting to go south on 1 coming east on Cave Neck will enter that roundabout, take the ramp, another roundabout, onto the service road, and onto Route 1. When we expressed our concerns last week, I wasn't alarmed in terms of that roundabout servicing those 359 homes. Not totally upset about that. That seemed reasonable. But again, I say that without the knowledge of what this total picture looks like from the TIS in 2014 to the other applications that have come since then. It just seems to be sort of pieced together. One of the thoughts or one of the questions was, and again, this is, you put this in the hearsay column, you park it where you want. The engineer was asked a question that with the acreage of future development in the Seaside project, if that incremental traffic was calculated, how would that impact the separated grade? And he said, well, there's talk about putting a substructure in on the overhead that would accommodate 2 future lanes, 4 lanes, 2 in each direction, that could accommodate. And I said, okay, so what do you do about the roundabout? He says, I have no idea. No idea at all. And keep in mind that that roundabout is elevated 7 feet off the ground. So if there is a decision in the future that more density is allowed in Seaside, primarily commercial, it'll crush that roundabout. No question about it. So I know that the future development is not on the agenda this evening.
Well, I would typically when that happens, that future development would have to solve that roundabout problem. That's going to be that. I mean, it isn't going to be something that I don't think anyone is going to allow to proceed without solving a failure issue like that, if it, in fact that's what it is. I think then that's the thing we deal with here, as you just alluded to. The future development's not on the agenda tonight. The present development is. But someday, that future development will be the present development, and that's the person, I think, who's going to have to deal with the problem that you have outlined so well. And it, right. No question, it's an issue that's coming in the future.
Okay.
You're right.
Yep. Well stated.
And if there's room to put two more substructure for two more lanes, I really hope you guys do it. Just because nobody ever died from having too many.
Right.
I'm talking about DelDOT.
Although when I talked to DelDOT, the answer was always, we would never build more than what we need. And I said, no kidding.
they do a little better job than that planning, I think. Yeah. But I know what you're saying. And that's and of course, you know, they're taxpayer driven too.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And they're developer contribution driven. And I understand the mechanism there. So, moving on, regarding the DelDOT TIS, just some questions to ponder. What is the current baseline of vehicle trips to Cave Neck, at Cave Neck Road and SR1 today? What is that baseline today? Cave Neck Road, and you've heard this for years, is probably one of the top five accident-prone intersections in the state. There's not an accident at Cave Neck that I'm not aware of where I don't hear emergency sirens, and it's several times a week. So it'd be a good to understand what that baseline is, and then take that baseline into consideration in terms of what we're adding. When I asked, I was curious as to why Chapel Farm, which by the way is breaking ground this week, Chapel Farm, Cool Spring, and Seaside were in the calculations, and I asked the question, well, what about North Star? I mean, North Star is essentially moving forward. We haven't seen the two applications from Cool Spring. Why isn't North Star considered in those numbers? And when you think about it, if you are going to the North Star development and you're coming south on 1, you're unlikely going to drive down to Minas Conaway. You're unlikely to pass up Cave Neck Road, drive down to Minas Conaway, or drive down to 9, you're going to take that separated grade at Cave Neck. If you're in North Star and you want to go to Dixon, Dover, right, you're not going to drive south or east on 9, pick up 1, get on 1 north, and drive to Dover. You're going to take Sweetbriar, Cave Neck, and utilize that same rotary. So, when I asked the question about the North Star, and they said, well, that's in the TID. And I'm thinking, how are we calculating TID? I mean, usually there's a scope with TID that identifies the roads that you're taking a look at. There's no scope for Cave Neck in the TID. So it seemed like a good answer at the time. But again, the bottom line is, do we really know all the do you know the information that you need to make decisions? And again, I don't necessarily, I stepped up when you asked who was opposed, right? I am not opposed to Seaside at Lewis.
And I appreciate that comment, and that is something that I wish we didn't do. I wish we just let people speak, you know, rather than forcing them to be on one side or the other. Mm-hmm. It's this silly binary thinking that have gotten us in all kinds of trouble since the dawn of humanity. But I agree with you. I understand that, and I appreciate you saying that and pointing that out.
I mean, I'll be totally honest with you, and maybe some of my friends would cast aspersions at me, but, you know, I'm 72 years old. We live in a beautiful 3/4-acre lot that I maintain. Some of what I heard tonight looks pretty attractive in terms of what's happening over there. And I heard a shrew back there, and I can understand it. I've been on the other side of that fence for 12 years. But at the same time, I also understand in terms of it being within the current zone as it relates to AR1 and two dwellings per acre. So anyway, let's move on. But I think these are all good questions. In terms of the build out, and again, I can fast track this because if what you're saying is that the county would place conditions on phasing of the build out, just like they did with Chapel Farm. Chapel Farm, they said you can go forward with the apartments and some of the retail, but in terms of the drugstore and the convenience store, if that comes to pass, those no certificate of occupancies until that separated grade is completed. So I know that you have the ability, especially through the MOU, to exercise something like that.
Right. And we might. We can. We have the ability to do that.
In terms of, again, this speaks to the future development. In the staff review, the question was asked, and I think, Lauren, you spoke to it as well. And that is, you know, the applicant's response to it was the future development areas will be submitted under separate applications after determination of the Del Dot overpass improvements. I totally understand that. And again, I just want to confirm that future applications would be separate and apart from 2307, and a rezoning would require council approval.
Any rezoning requires council approval, right. So absolutely.
Okay.
No question.
But again, I want to reinforce the fact that commercial uses could have a substantial incremental trip generation impact on the capacity of the Cave Neck Road GSI.
It's actually a two-part thing. So it's the rezoning, which goes to county council. But then, as you know, I think, you know, that really is not the end of the story. That's sort of the beginning of the story, because then you still need to go through all the site plan reviews and something, yes. Del Dot reviews and come back to here, you know, and everything else. So it's really layered, you know, mm-hmm. if there's.
So in summary, so much, I think, depends on the commission's understanding of the impact of the intensity of development on the residents of this area, and that you will study, that you will probe, you'll ask the tough questions. And at that point, that's the most that we can ask for. Thank you for your time.
Indeed, thank you. Appreciate your comments. If anyone else who would like to speak? Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to let this gentleman speak, and then we're going to ask, we'll see if Del Dot has any comments they'd like to make before they. Hold on for a second, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, you would be amazed at how voices carry from the back to front in here. So I need you to be quiet, especially while somebody else is speaking. Go ahead, sir.
Excuse me. There you go.
You got her.
My name is Ennio Mastriani, and I live in the Painters Mill community. So we're just on the west side of this development, okay? And we agree very much with many of the comments that Rich Barrasso just made, and we support those comments. Our community is very concerned about all the development along Coastal Highway and Cave Neck Road. And so our HOA established a committee called the Eastern Border Committee to try to help residents stay knowledgeable about the developments that are taking place so that people aren't freaking out and leaving and all those kinds of things and are getting accurate information. So we've purposely been opened up communication with the council commissioner, council members like Schaefer, and then we hope to have future, you know, developments with the new council person. We've invited Del Dot several times to come and meet with our committee and with residents to try to be knowledgeable and communicate accurate information. We're finding it difficult to communicate accurate information with our residents because it seems that every time we invite a Del Dot official to come and tell us what's happening in front of our property, we get We get partial answers. We get answers that change, et cetera. Our most recent meeting was just a week and a half, was last week. We invited DelDOT to come, and they came, and they brought AEM. And we were looking at the materials that you provide for this meeting, and so we saw the memorandum that Rich Barrasso mentioned from WRA that was updated December 21, 2023. At this meeting was the project manager for the separated grade and two
all right,
other
so
engine.
Excuse me, I'm gonna ask you if you would summarize all that and boil it down to what that has to do with this development. We appreciate all your efforts of your group and all that, and we really do, but what we really need to know is what is your objection to this?
Our main objection to this is that the front part of this development, okay, like you mentioned that there are 241 acres
right.
in that development, 81 of which
right.
are the, that end. So that leaves 160 acres. And then I don't know how many of those acres include the potential future development of
right.
commercial property.
You do understand that's not the subject of this hearing tonight. The subject is that residential parcel right there
right.
that you see.
We're not opposed to the residential part,
okay.
but we are asking that there would be conditions put on, or notes submitted or whatever that 241 acres has been built out to maximum if there's no change in zoning, and that commercial development would not be allowed because of the extra traffic and that would be generated
okay.
In the roundabouts. So we're asking that the record remain open and that potentially that DelDOT would be asked to really consider new information in calculating whether or not those roundabouts are going to fail. They've already said that they will fail by 2050, and that doesn't even include the development that would take place west of Hudson Road along Cape Neck and into Milton.
All right.
So we're concerned about quality of life and diminishment services. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Commissioners, any questions about any of the DelDOT comments? Or our DelDOT representative still here? I'm sure she'd be happy to speak with us further if you like. Or do you have anything you want to add based on what you've heard?
Got into the weeds of the GSI design, which I think they've had meetings with that section, the highway section within DelDOT. I cannot answer for the GSI. I can only speak about Seaside proposal
Understood.
And impact on
right.
the GSI.
Okay. All right. That's fine. That's fine. Any questions? Okay, thank you. Okay. All right. Okay. Mr. Hutt, did you have a comment or someone on your team have a comment? I thought I saw somebody waving a hand.
I think it would be first time, sorry. I think it might be beneficial if you addressed his concern about the property that you're proposing to develop now versus the three parcels that you stated earlier are not included in that acreage, just so he understands that, the gentleman that was just up here speaking.
Sure. And if I may, I also wanted to try to answer, I'll answer your question next, if I can answer Mr. Barrasso's question about the facilities report from DelDOT. It's actually the second page.
Oh, I forgot all about his questions. Yeah, excuse me. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, if you would answer his
question. In tab L,
yeah.
page one was the service level evaluation request form. The next page begins what I would call the support facilities report, the SFR from DelDOT, which is July 11th, 2003. It's the next two pages in the project book material.
Which tab was that?
L.
Tab L, okay.
I believe it's also separately in the online docket because the county, of course, receives that document separate from the, they receive it directly from DelDOT as well. The one thing that, Ms. Wingate, your question relates to the future development. As I said during the initial presentation, it's unknown exactly what's going to go there. frankly, there's a lot that's going to happen at Cave Neck Road and Route 1 there. And until that portion of the property behind that, where all that activity is going to take place, again, made sense for what you see on the screens. But that future development could be any number of things. Again, the county has a designation in the comprehensive plan for that, and that's what would apply to it. And with respect to the concerns and the sort of Socratic method of looking at this that Mr. Barrasso presented, you know, what this commission relies upon are the experts in the field on traffic. And DLDOT has confirmed that with Seaside, the intersections and those roundabouts all operate within acceptable levels of service. There was a reference to the memorandum of understanding regarding traffic with DLDOT, and those all work. And when you want to look, ask why they work, it's because the traffic that was allotted for the east side of Route 1 was originally for 217, I believe it was, single-family homes and 300,000 square feet of retail space. That's a lot of, I don't know how many trips that is because I'm not a traffic engineer, but that's a lot of trips that were allocated to the east side of Route 1. And with respect to those trips, they're certainly not being accounted for by 359 single-family homes. And that was the reference in that the minutes that you saw from the meeting that occurred between the applicant and DLDOT regarding they have to take those into account. And then at some point in time, that number gets reduced. Whatever that future development is that's shown on the screen is going to have to be part of that, or to Mr. Wheatley's comments, they're going to have to pay to make some road improvement or something of that nature. I do believe that Mr. Reed wanted to comment on that as well.
I promise to be 60 seconds or less. Joe Reed, I just wanted to clarify a couple things. My family, we purchased this property in, I think it was right around COVID, I've lost track of time, now probably 2000, but I wanted to make it clear because there's been a lot of reference to the previous applications and then like the 900,000 square foot mall that was proposed there and even the two prior subdivisions. I had nothing to do with those, didn't own the property then. I went back, listened to all the tapes, all the testimony. I was part of the efforts to have the lands restored to the development district, which they had been in since 2008. But during that time, I listened to the comments that were made by the opposition, and what I heard was this property should be developed as two units an acre or less. In fact, I have some very specific, just listened to those again recently. So, and I want to commend Rich Barrasso, because I came here tonight prepared, so what I charged Zach from DBF with was, let's do something that, you know, is not going to meet should not meet opposition. They said they want two units an acre or less and significant open space, try to buffer the Great Marsh. We did that with an 80 acre park. We're 1.49 units an acre. But, you know, and I came prepared to have the goalposts moved, and now here, well, now it should be something else. So I want to commend Rich Barrasso for saying he's not opposed to this. I think if you were to listen to the previous records, you would find this is consistent with what
I was here for the previous records.
What they said, how they thought the property should be developed. I believe it's consistent with the code, but I just wanted to clarify, I was not involved in the efforts to develop a 900,000 square foot shopping center.
Duly noted.
Thank you.
Duly noted.
The only other question I had in my notes was I think the first speaker asked if the purchaser of the property had consulted with council prior to purchasing the property, and the answer to that question is yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Is there anyone else on the commission with any questions? Okay. I'm sorry. We're good? All right. There being none, now we're going to close the public hearing. Before I do that, I want to thank all of you who waited very patiently to speak. And we've got actually have two or three more public hearings. When we close the public hearing, I know you're going to want to get up, and it's very natural that you're going to want to start talking. I'm going to ask you to get up and leave if you're leaving, but please don't talk. You can talk when once you get out of the room, because we're going to go on with our meeting. So we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. And thanks again to our good friend from DelDOT being with us this evening.